Good evening and welcome to Cheater and the Rude on the Progressive Radio Network. We're moving. Please help us pack up our stuff. This is a special episode of Cheater and the Rude. We got two major doses of satire for you, a couple different styles, a couple different loves. First, you can hear an interview with Sir Ian Faith of the band Spinal Tap, manager of the band. We're going to reveal the corruption behind corporate entertainment. Then, to take it to the next level, we're going to hear a special presentation by get-rich-cheating author Jeff Chrysler. That's actually me. It's a glimpse of his course, his seminar, his training, get-rich-cheating, teaching you how to make millions the old-fashioned American way. So sit back, relax, enjoy, that's not the word, sit back, relax, enjoy two doses of incredible satire. And keep following Cheater on the Road. You can follow us at GetRichCheating.com, JeffChrysler.com, K-R-E-I-S-L-A-R, or tweet at Jeff Chrysler, or tweet at Rude Pundit, or RudePundit.blogspot.com. It's summertime. You're wonderful. Get outside, enjoy yourself. Put this on the headphones. And enjoy a little taste.
And this is so exciting. We have been celebrating anniversaries a lot lately, and last week it was the 30th anniversary of the release of Spinal Tap. Now, to our great surprise, we were contacted after our segment by a key person in the success, if we can call it that, of the legendary band Spinal Tap. We were contacted by its ex-manager and still biggest fan, Sir Ian Faith. He seemed anxious to discuss our use of the term slimeball, and I think maybe scumbag, when we were discussing his role in managing the band. So, that's right, everybody. We have him right now on the line from his current home in the South Pacific. Hello, Sir Ian.
Hello.
Good to have you here. But now, before we get started, please, let me first of all congratulate you on something I've always assumed, and now I'm glad it's true, your knighthood. We weren't aware here in the U.S. that you'd actually appeared on the Queen's Birthday's Honours List.
Well, actually, I haven't.
But you are a knight, right? A Sir of the United Kingdom?
Near enough. I was knighted by the, a monarch of the British Commonwealth.
Queen Elizabeth?
No, King Ahoitu Anuaki o Tonga Takahuhi Tupo IV of Tonga, where I now make my home. I was knighted for services to the nation, specifically moving the Rock and Roll Managers Hall of Fame to Nuku'alofa, capital of Tonga, from its original home in Dorking, England. Plus, there was a small knighting fee.
There was a place, or there is a place in England called Dorking?
Yes, it seemed like an appropriate place name for the Rock and Roll Managers Hall of Fame.
And let me guess, the Rock and Roll Managers Hall of Fame is a brainchild of you?
The Hall of Fame has been a pet project of my post-tap years, yes, but it belongs to the whole world now.
And who's been inducted into this Hall of Fame?
At one time or another, Andrew Oldham of the Stones, Richard Cole of Led Zeppelin, Malcolm McLaren of the Sex Pistols, and many other greats. Posthumously, Brian Epstein and Bill Graham.
And they've all been inducted. I mean, actually, physically inducted.
Well, not Brian Epstein or Bill Graham. They're long time dead. You seem skeptical somehow about this legendary institution.
Not at all. No. Why would anyone express skepticism about a project founded by Sir Ian Faith? But on the subject of death, there's something I should clear up for our listeners. Aren't you supposed to be dead?
Yes. Well, this goes back some years. As you may know, in the official history of TAP, they reunited in 1992 at my funeral in New York. The boys experienced such ecstasy dancing on my grave that they decided to get back together. That much is true. But the real truth is, I felt sorry for them, so in order to reunite them, I faked my own death.
Why would you pull off such a daring hoax? I mean, you could have been buried or cremated alive or...
My motivation, as always, was the welfare of the band, which intersects with your unwarranted allegations in Ray the term slimeball. And let me point out, as a parenthesis, much of what we call slime can be very nutritious. You could live for years on pond scum and never get cancer. Metaphorically speaking, balls of slime are rarely what they seem.
Well, why are you defending balls of slime? It would seem like that.
A year before my death, Tapp's business affairs had become, let's say, tangled. I felt it best to take upon myself responsibility for these various, well, indiscretions.
Indiscretions on your part?
They were collective indiscretions I'd individually undertaken in some cases involving massive fraud as a representative of the band, but only as a representative of the band, not on my own recognizance. Perish the thought.
So you were defrauding people on the band's behalf?
Not to the best of my recollection, but yes. I had received advances from interests in Eastern Europe for albums that were yet to be recorded. Such sums tend to get eaten up like that when you're funding a band with the artistic sweep of a Spinal Tap. Anyway, that was when I quite openly embezzled large sums to draw attention away from the potentially damaging indiscretions that had been committed by the band collectively without their knowledge by me.
Well, that certainly could lead to a reputation as a slime ball, but now I know your pure motives. I must say, most managers would not make that sacrifice.
My strategy was to make sure the authorities would blame only me for those apparent crimes, and then kill myself.
And then the band could blame you, too. Well, you made yourself a martyr for them.
Exactly. As it says in the Bible, greater love hath no manager than that he lay down his life for his band.
It takes a certain subtlety of mind to grasp that you would steal from someone for their own benefit.
Exactly. Precisely. It was beyond the band, frankly. But I've always said the band's talents are intuitive, not cerebral. They don't have minds in the usual sense of the word.
Okay, but how did you actually pull off this amazing hoax?
Well, it's remarkably easy to die in New York City. All it took was a hotel manager with long experience in dealing with overdosed corpses on his premises, which happens every day in the Chelsea, an apparent 3-week drug binge, a sympathetic undertaker I'd met in Beirut called Hassan, 6 scuba tanks of oxygen in the coffin, and $11,000, plus tips. I won't go into the details, but being alive for your own funeral is a harrowing experience. To hear Nigel yell in the cemetery as the first clod of earth hit the top of the coffin, "Ta-ta, Ian, come back as something I can eat."
Wow, that is cold. Considering all you've done for them, or all you've done to that point at least, it's pretty heartless.
Not for the first time, I should add. Years ago, during one of our Japanese tours, I was having a bit of a fling with David's girlfriend, Janine Pettibone.
Really? Wow. After all the conflict you two went through, on screen at least, during the filming of the documentary.
That was all for show. We'd been bonking for months.
Huh.
So David got wind of it and took out a contract on my life. And gave the contract to Nigel. So Nigel tries to off me with this bright day-glow blue rat poison. It shows up on salad, you know. It's supposed to, so you won't eat it.
This goes back to the band not having minds in the usual sense of the word.
Exactly. And I miss them on some level, I must say. There's one thing about cretins. They're easy to manage. But I put all that rancor behind me.
Well, you know, it must be hard now to get much professional traction when people think you're dead, right?
Yes, but music is a universal language, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as Hemingway said, go further. Or was it the Marquis de Sade? After all, I was only dead in England and the United States. This was the late 90s. Hassan knew some moderate Iranians inside Iran who wanted to soften Iran's image in Europe and Asia. Boom! I'm teeming with ideas. I set up a label, Moderate Records. They love it! Millions of rials pour in from Tehran. Boom! I come up with a new band, the Mullahs of Invention. They love that too! More millions!
Wow, that sounds like you've definitely...
I found some Turkish kids in Bremen who looked Iranian, bought them a Marshall Stack and some Gibson SGs, but they had no songs. Now, I'm sitting on this back catalogue of songs by a group called Spinal Tap, which, for all intents and purposes, doesn't exist anymore.
So that's how Spinal Tap's back catalogue ended up in Tehran.
I slipped the songs into Moderate's catalogue to get them started.
You sold them to the Iranians.
No. I contributed the catalogue to the mullahs for a specified time in return for my salary. Technically, it's owned by...
Ali Akbar Hashemi Rasfajani?
Technically. But spiritually, they still belong to Tap, and always will.
So you would reestablish yourself as a player in the rock world?
Well, after that, I made a foray into world music. I went to South Africa and lined up some very interesting musicians.
Oh, like Paul Simon did?
Yes, but very much unlike him as well. My chaps were white. Afrikaners. This was after apartheid, so they didn't have much to do. And they incorporate a lot of fascinating elements not usually found in black African music, like bass drums and tubas.
What kind of music do they play?
Military, but with a sort of umpah flavour. It can be very moving, and their choral work sends shivers up your spine.
Do they have the same message of peace and brotherhood that Graceland had and still does?
Well, no, but white bigots are everywhere on Earth, too. Don't they have the right to their own world music?
Well, I guess when you put it like that, sure. What's the group called?
Raceland.
Okay. Now, to wrap it up, I want to ask the question that's on everyone's mind, all the fans out there. Any chance of your ever getting back with Spinal Tap?
Oh, that would be a dream, Jeff, to be back with the boys. Not that it would be easy, but I am the fifth member of Spinal Tap, you know. They're Pete Best, Brian Epstein, and Murray the K, all wrapped up in one. And there are so many memories, so many difficult memories.
There's a lot of history there.
My whole point is that what you call slime ballery, the embezzlement, the fraud, the illegal transfers, the skimming, was my way of saying, I love you, Tap. I'm very fond of our body of work together, our oeuvre. But the boys aren't boys anymore. Not a hair between them, and I've still got all of mine. They're coming up fast on that old bucket. The only time I'm likely to get down with Spinal Tap now is at their tribute concert.
Wow, are you sure you meant that I love you, Tap?
Listen, a few years ago, I got into the market with something called CDDOs, Compact Disc Derivative Options. Very complex rock-related financial instruments. I won't try to explain them to you. You're a creative person. Anyway, I built up huge holdings and just at the right moment shorted the market. Now I live in a South Pacific paradise with my beloved Janine and my two younger wives. Life is good. And you know why, Jeff? It's all sex, drugs, and no rock and roll.
All right, well, that sounds like a lovely way to live. Thank you for joining us. Newly knighted, I suppose, Sir Ian Faith, formerly of the band Spinal Tap. And once again, a great interview here on the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Do I have to come right flat out and tell you everything? Give me some money.
That was Sir Ian Faith from the band Spinal Tap. Great segue at the end. The song Give Me Some Money leads us into our next segment about cheating to get money, which is what you all should consider doing. This is Cheater in the Root on Progressive Radio Network. We're moving awkwardly. We got hit by a bicycle. Enjoy.
All right, yes, wow, oh, amazing, this is so exciting for you. This is the first time I presented my award-winning seminar, my award-winning wealth-building secrets, Get Rich Cheating, as an audio program. You are going to have your lives change in just a few minutes' time, and then, of course, by buying my book and hiring my services, my wealth building personal one-on-one, very expensive services, well worth the investment. Let me start by asking you all a question. Is anybody listening here rich? No, you're not. Okay, you wouldn't be listening on radio. You would be having a chorus of some sort of slave type people singing words to you instead of putting earbuds in your phone or whatever it is that you do. You're not rich. You know what? I used to be just like you. I used to be just like you. Just sitting around waiting for my break, waiting for my moment. Well, how was I going to get rich? I was, investing in the stock market. I was buying lottery tickets. I was waiting for my grandmother to die. It never happened. Then one day, I was reading the newspaper. I'm sure you've all heard about newspapers on the internet. And these stories, they struck me. They were so amazing. A bailed out executive gets $40 million severance. Steroid user gets $200 million salary. Kim Kardashian exists. It struck me like a ton of pricks. These folks were getting rich cheating. It wasn't hard work. It wasn't intelligence. It wasn't even luck. It was cheating. And in that moment, I said to myself,
is this how it's always been done? Is this the only way? What's happening? And so I went out there and I did the research. And look, I believe we stand on the shoulders of giants. If we just bend down, we can steal their ideas. So I looked at the history of this world, of modern culture and civilization, and I found that the great moments in history were also the great moments in cheating. For instance, darkness. God creates heaven and earth in 6 days, submits an invoice for 7. 1206 AD, Genghis Khan proposes a merger with Asia Incorporated. Once he's rebuffed, he builds the most brutal empire in history until Google. In the 1870s, Standard Oil is the first great modern monopoly, using politics and economics and connections to seize power and money. Once Standard Oil is broken up, oil is never again a political or economic issue. In 1929, John Steinbeck engineers the Great Depression in order to boost sales of his book, Grapes of Wrath. A similar move, the moon landing is faked. We only discover their ruse when MTV lands on the real Kick-Ass moon. 1984, like Standard Oil in its day, was the founding of a great, great company, Enron. Enron, ugh. Just say the word. Just feel how it rolls off your tongue. Enron, Enron. It's like Yahweh or Jesus or Reagan. It's just, oh, it's everything. They coined the phrase creative accounting. It's better than making crap up. They did so many things. I don't have time to get into it. Trust me, in the seminar, well worth your thousands of dollars, the personal one-on-one coaching, I will explain it all to you. A few other great moments in the history of cheating in 2000. Of course, there are votes counted in Florida for president, 2004 votes counted in Ohio for president, 2008 we had a $750 billion bailout that was 3 pages long, and in 2014 you pay to listen to me tell you how to get rid. Now look, I studied these people and I thought, if they're doing it, why not me? And then I fell back upon sort of just the traditional proven means of improving oneself, and I realized I just had to follow 3 simple steps. I had to visualize my dreams. Then I had to confront the obstacles to my dreams. And then using simple tools, I had to achieve my dreams. Visualize, confront, achieve. And that's all you need to do. We'll start by visualizing our dreams. Visualizing our dreams. I said to myself, what is it that I want? What is it that I want? Money. Okay? Money can buy you love. Money can buy you happiness. Money can buy you anything you possibly want. You want the love of a good woman or several mediocre women? Money gets that for you. I mean, money is all that matters. Money is all that we value. Have you ever seen the TV show Lifestyles of the Poor and Decrepit? No. You know what you do see? You see little 5-year-old kids run around with t-shirts to say, show me the money, instead of Winnie the Pooh. And that makes sense, because Winnie the Pooh is so poor, he can't afford pants. Look, in today's day and age, money isn't just for food and rent and alimony. If you get enough money, you can do whatever you want and live forever. Just ask Hugh Hefner. So, accepting that money is my dream, is my goal, is my, there's probably some foreign language that has a word for thing. I said, okay, what are the things holding me back? I have to confront the obstacles to that dream. And my fear is the obstacle. Your fear is your obstacle. And what are you afraid of? Why are you afraid of getting rich cheating? Because you're afraid of getting caught. And I'll tell you, when I teach you to get rich cheating, there's a chance you'll get caught. Something between 6% and 96%. You might get caught, but, and this is a big but, and I like big buts because they do not lie, getting caught cheating is not the same as going to jail cheating. Let me ask, how many people responsible for the financial crisis who made hundreds of millions of dollars, how many of those people are in jail? Zero. Zero. Right? Even Bernie Madoff, yeah, he was sentenced to 120 years in jail, but Bernie Madoff stole $60 billion. Are you telling me he can't afford a clone? He can. And there's so many ways to avoid jail. Bernie Ebers at WorldCom, he said he didn't know what was happening in his company. He ended up in jail, but I'll teach you how to get out. The point is, you're not going to go to jail. So what else do you fear? If it's not going to jail, if that's not realistic, what's our other fear? Fear. We fear not being liked. We all want to be liked. That's why we're on Twitter and Facebook and Prozac. Look, it's understandable, but we shouldn't care about being liked. Okay, why do you care about what other people think? Other people don't really care about you. I mean, we're led to believe that it matters, but, you know, there's no footprints in the sand. There's no bridge over troubled water. You know how they say there's no I in team? Well, guess what? There's no we in rich. If you want to get rich cheating, you simply must not care what other people think of you. I mean, is that really that hard? Have you met people? People are dumb. I mean, people text and drive. People buy Apple products the first day they're out. People can't believe it's not butter. These are the people you're worried about? Stop. Just stop doing that. And look, I realize saying, oh, don't care what other people think it's easy for me because I've perfected that craft, but it's probably hard for you because you don't have the experience. You don't understand. You haven't seen the truth. I mean, you're probably sitting there thinking to yourself, hey, Jeff, cheating is wrong. I've been told that cheating is wrong. No. That is programming shoved down your throat by weak-minded hippie robots that want to tell you what is right and wrong. Who are they to tell you what are right and wrong? Who are these people? Ah, do what we say. We know what is right and wrong. 2.5 men is hilarious. BS. Okay? These are just lies shoved down your throat. The truth is, the only one judging you is you. So stop doing that. I stopped judging myself according to other people's ideas of morality. My moral compass is pointing due north. Due north gold, not North Pole. You see what I did there? I don't care what other people think, because the truth is, we're born alone, wah, we die alone, wah, and in the middle, if we're good, we make millions and millions of dollars alone. Wah. So don't worry about other people. Don't worry about morality. Don't worry about ethics. These are constructs of a society that wants to keep its wealth to itself when it's yours for the taking. And how do you take it? Well, once you visualize that dream of money and confronted these insignificant obstacles to cheating, your fears, your morality, your ethics, it's quite simple. And I'm not going to give away all my details in this free audio tease, but you know, you want to get into sports, you do steroids. You want to get into show business, you're either born to someone already in show business or you use your body. You know, if you don't have the family connections, you got the family jewels. You know, you sleep your way up. But you just, if you need to visualize someone else, so be it. Once you're rich and famous, you can have whoever you want. You want just regular jobs? The lie on your resume. I mean, there's been a lie on resumes ever since T-Rex said he could, you know, type 60 words a minute, was immune to tar pits. I mean, there's so many ways to get rich cheating. I want to focus on two important ones, two that we see all the time. Number one, spin. Your words, your image, your ability to communicate with other people. This is key. Do any of the listeners here know that Donald Trump is just a failed real estate investor? You probably think he's a TV show host, a trophy wife gatherer, a tester of futuristic outer space hair pieces. Because that's the image he projects with his words, with his spin. But it's not true. But you put that out there and that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And spin not only can make you like a hero to yourself and therefore the world and just get people to want to give you money to be near you, but spin can prevent you from falling into traps. It can do so much. Like General Motors, a while back, they fired a bunch of people, but they didn't say it was a mass layoff. They said they were lowering the retirement age to now. Now, there's a little something hidden in there. General Motors fired a bunch of people. General Motors Corporation didn't care about people. More than that, they exploited those people. That is the second key I want to share with you right now. Besides spinning your words, is finding a group of people to exploit. You can choose from so many. You can choose from the poor and the elderly and the desperate and the athletes and the religious and the sick and the healthy, the left and the right, the middle, the foreign, the domestic. There are so many people. Just choose one and run with it, because trust me, there are so many people waiting to give you their money. Here's a little counterintuitive trick that I've used. I gave money to get money. How did I do that? Student loan companies. greatest cheaters out there right now, hands down. Why? Because they give kids $100,000, $200,000, but they get back their money plus interest. Right? Though they get it back. Right? When you graduate from college, many of you are out of those ivory doors, and you get a text, an email, a phone call from a student loan agency. When you move for the rest of your life, first letter of your new apartment, student loan company. You cannot run from a student loan company. You cannot hide from a student loan company. Student loan companies will track you to the ends of the earth. I swear, if Osama bin Laden had a student loan, we would have caught him September 12th, 1997. So you see, this is just a little tease on the packaging and all the easy tricks, but the truth is, the easiest trick is the fact that you're listening to this. And the fact that you're listening to this most likely in the greatest place to cheat, the most fertile soil for cheating, America, the land of opportunity. America, built by slaves on land land stolen from people that we were too dumb to realize didn't come from India. Slaves, dumb, foreigners. Like, this is America. Of the cheaters, by the cheaters, for the cheaters. A place where we don't care that you're a steroid-hitting home run machine that looks like Popeye. We don't care if you steal an election. We don't really care until it affects our ability to eat fast food and watch crappy movies and drive three blocks away in our SUVs and spend $40 on a gallon of gas and a plasma TV and dreams about what thin people look like while 90% of us are. We don't care if you cheat. Just don't mess up the primetime TV. Just don't mess up our little existence. We'll be fine. America. It is fertile soil, the land of dreams, a land where you will achieve everything you have ever wanted. And what is it that you want? Money. And how are you going to get it? Cheating. I want you to get out there. I want you to start thinking. I want you to start praying if that's what you do. And I want you to start cheating. I want you to buy my book, $14.99. I want you to hire me for personal coaching, $15,000 an hour for introductory rate, at which point I bump it up. And I want you to get rich cheating. Thank you for listening. God bless you. God bless these United States of America.
One, two, there's money at all.